Redline.
Less than 100 days before the U.S. presidential election, Russia has emerged as a hot-button issue in the race between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, with both camps circulating conspiracy theories and locking horns on how to deal with Moscow and President Putin. This is what we are going to discuss in our second section, Between the Lines, analyzing the most thought-provoking publications of the week. While everybody is by now aware of Trump's joking request that Russia turn over Hillary's deleted emails, and might have even heard how his chief advisor, Paul Manafort, used to work with former Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych, a Washington Examiner article titled, "Shh, Hillary Clinton has a big Russia problem too," takes a different angle and talks about Hillary's Russia-related scandals. Bill Clinton was paid $500,000 to give a single speech in Moscow in June 2010. The money came from a Kremlin-connected bank with interest in a huge deal involving American uranium mines. The deal, which ultimately helped a Russian government enterprise gain 20% of American uranium reserves, required the sign-off of Secretary Clinton's State Department. The article also makes mention of the latest scandal with Skolkova, the Russian tech project that Hillary drummed up American investment for. It says that 17 of the 28 Russian, American, and European key partners in those investments were major donors to the Clinton Foundation, and that the FBI publicly warned American investors about Russian tech startups in general and the Skolkova Foundation in particular because they allegedly wanted to gain access to classified, sensitive, and emerging technology.
Andrew, this is one of the tens and tens of stories which are circulated these days by American media. Well, it took Americans' presidential race to recognize Russia as a topic, finally, so we can congratulate them with this. But let us put jokes aside. I have a feeling that probably this is the first time after the Cold War and the collapse of the Soviet Union that Russian topic really matters for American presidential polls. I can hardly recall a similar situation during the time of President Clinton's presidency than we remember during the time of George Bush. There was a discussion who lost Russia, but that was something different. Now we see that both candidates are involved in mudsliding campaign, and Russia is a hot-button issue because each one is trying to use alleged stories about, well, secret accounts, connections, groups of interests, to show that the other candidate is violating American national interests. What is bad about this is that it seems that the dominant mood is that to be American patriot, you have to be anti-Russian. Trump tried to change this understanding by saying, why shouldn't be involved in dealing with Russia? And you've seen what sort of wild attacks were made on him. But as far as those publications are concerned, I'm sure they will have more and more stories on that. I was also fascinated with the angle which was given by a New American. Emily Temkin has written a story under the title, "We Do Not Get to Blame Putin for This American Election." Here is what she says. "And if Trump wins in November, Putin, who is not an American citizen or registered voter, will not have made it happen. We ourselves will have done that." I think that's explaining what's going on. You see, so let us not blame Putin. Let us not talk about some Kremlin's hand. This is American issue, American politics. American voters have to decide who will be next president. And the only thing what we can say from here is that regardless of who wins the election, we hope that he would be able to come up with the blueprint for pragmatic, positive relations with Russia.
Yes, we definitely have to hope that, but we'll see where it all heads. Right now, we're going to speak to our in-studio guest. That's Mr. Andrei Fyodorov. He's Russia's former deputy foreign minister and director of the Center for Political Studies think tank to discuss this issue. Hello, Mr. Fyodorov. How are you?
Thanks.
Okay, so, you know, of course, we're very all aware of the geopolitical tensions between the U.S. and Russia, but now it seems as though these tensions have kind of trickled down to the domestic level and have entered the presidential debate. Why do you think that is, and what do you think this means?
First of all, I don't want to over-exaggerate the case of Russia in U.S. Election campaign. It's more or less the look from Russia that everyone is speaking about Russia in the United States campaign. It's not the case. Russia is still on the second-hand storage.
But, Mr. Fyodorov, we never seen such a campaign.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah,
so
this campaign have a very one specific, because Trump is non-political system candidate. And the whole campaign now and the rest of campaign will not be based on political debate. It's a personal battle between two strong people, Hillary and Donald Trump. The problem is that in such kind of battle where political or economic arguments are not working, you should take out the things where you can hit your enemy, hit seriously. And Russia is one of the things which were used. It's not any change in the policy towards Russia. And we should not expect too much that the Russia will be further on in the center of attention, etc., etc. And the problem is that this is tactical steps. Mm-hmm. There are no strategical steps. Strategical steps might follow only after elections. And we understand that if Trump will win, I think he might win, yeah? He will build up a strategical vision towards Russia, not a tactical vision. The problem for Russia is very simple, and that's why, by the way, Hillary is accusing Russia, because for Russia, Hillary is a very difficult partner. We cannot make any new agenda with Hillary. It's impossible. We will be back on the traditional non-constructive agenda with her with a lot of problems. With Trump, yes, we can open certain new pages, but we should not expect Trump to be the friend of Russia. Trump could be very much pragmatic, mm-hmm. but pragmatic in favor of U.S. interests, not in the interests of Russia.
Absolutely, yeah, of course. Yeah, he's the American, president.
That's why I think in the second stage now of election campaign, there will be much more turn into U.S. domestic things and some foreign things like Syria, etc., etc., and Russia will drop out. Of course, there will be some scandal things linked with Russia and with hacker attacks on the Hillary, etc., etc., but the main issue is that under any circumstances, Russia will not be the point number one for the coming elections.
Okay, yeah, thanks for expressing that insight. I think that this is definitely something to watch, and it does make a lot of sense that Russia is being used as a political instrument in this personal battle between the two candidates. Right now, we're going to switch over to our lines, and we're going to speak to our first guest. That's Mr. Anton Fedyashin. He's professor of history at American University in Washington, D.C. Hello, Mr. Fedyashin. How are you today?
Andrew, how are you? Good to be with you again.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Thank you. So, of course, we're discussing this Russian card in American politics, and, you know, with you being a professor of history, I'm sure you're very well aware of how the U.S. has actually directly interfered in other countries' elections, including with former Ambassador McFaul meeting with Russian non-systemic opposition. But in this case, you just have rumors, you have nothing proven, no photographs. It's just pure conjecture, it seems. So how do you kind of relate all of this, and how do you interpret this a Russian card being used in American politics?
Well, here are the two interesting things that have jumped out at me about the current situation. On the one hand, it's a throwback to the bad old days of the Cold War, when in American elections it became an unexpected staple of the incumbent party being accused of being soft on the Russians or on the communists or on the Soviets by a challenging party. So in that sense, it's a parallel and it's an unfortunate throwback. There is something new, however, in the current situation, which is the extent to which Americans believe that the Russians have actually, or claim that the Russians have actually gotten involved in their election by allegedly releasing these emails, although there's absolutely no proof of who did it and where they came from. So that is something new. And unfortunately, Russia has become a tool, a weapon between the two candidates, and the bilateral relation can only suffer even more.
Yeah, I want to thank you, Mr. Fedyashin, for talking about this with us today. You really added a lot of constructive input to the conversation. We're very thankful to have had you in the program. Thank you. Moving along now, we're inviting Mr. Paul Grenier onto our show. He's a prominent author and former interpreter for the U.S. State Department and the Pentagon. Paul, first of all, how symbolic is it that Russia has become a major issue in this campaign right now? And specifically, what I mean by that is in terms of domestic scandals, because usually when it's brought up, it's in terms of foreign policy.
It's definitely bizarre to see Russia suddenly so prominent as the bad guy. In that kind of context, it's more familiar to have it as the bad guy because of something that's going on in foreign policy. But anyway, the interesting, I've been thinking about why it is that suddenly Russia is so prominent in this domestic context. And my conclusion is that it has a lot to do with the publication of Peter Schweitzer's book on Clinton's cash in May and a series of articles that have come out about it in the Wall Street Journal, all of them pointing to Clinton's own connections with Russia via the Clinton Foundation, and also while she was a Secretary of State, helping to develop the Skolkovo High Technology Center and helping make all sorts of deals with Russia. My suspicion is that her campaign sees that as a potential weakness, that she had to somehow change the narrative to associate Trump as much as possible with Russia, to protect herself from attacks from the Republicans, because that's such a typical attack in the United States for Republicans to accuse Democrats as being weak on defense, which usually means that they're either soft on communism, soft on something that's going on in Russia. And since there's no longer communism, that, in America, that doesn't matter. You need to have a Russian enemy, apparently, in order for politics to work.
Yeah, what I'd like to ask you about is, since you brought up Hillary Clinton's Russia-related scandals, how do they stack up compared to these scandals about Donald Trump? Because Donald Trump's only scandals about Russia are his joke about Hillary's email and the fact that his advisor, Paul Manafort, had connections with Mr. Yanukovych. So which of these two poses a greater so-called national security risk?
You know, I think that the real crux of the narrative, as far as I can tell, and trying to get some sort of rationality out of American media coverage in an election year is always kind of a losing battle. But all the, Trump himself has encouraged his narrative that he admires Putin a great deal by saying that Putin called me a genius, and he repeats that, even though, as we know, if one speaks Russian, that's actually not at all what Putin said. Simply said he was essentially a colorful figure. But this attempt to associate the two is being used to reinforce the image of Trump himself as being an authoritarian figure. And since these two authoritarians, Trump and Putin, they're two birds of a feather, and therefore you should there's been so much demonization of Putin that if you can associate the two, then you can demonize Trump as well. It's very, it's a rhetorical sort of game that's going on. I don't think it really drills down too much into the economic associations between Trump's advisors, although they looked into it. I'm sure will be played up as much as possible by the Clinton camp, again, to hide, to deflect attention from her own involvement, which, by the way, this Volkova deal, I think, probably made a lot of sense. I don't see why that's a scandal.
Yeah, I also don't see why it's a scandal, to be honest with you. I just know a lot of people are talking about it in a pretty negative way, I believe, because the FBI later came out saying, or rather accusing Russia of trying to get foreign technology through these investments. But what I want to ask you about, Paul, again, just along this same thread here, is how can Clinton's approach towards this Russia issue, namely, as you spoke about her trying to link President Putin with Donald Trump, how can that backfire on her? Do you think that might draw more attention to the accusations in the Clinton Cash book?
That's an interesting possibility. I think that the way it is more likely to backfire on her is that it's simply not at all convincing to the people in the Bernie Sanders camp, because the whole point of bringing in the Russian card, as you know, was because the emails that had been hacked revealed that the Democratic National Committee, and presumably with Hillary Clinton's full knowledge, was essentially conspiring to try to damage Bernie Sanders' reputation, and wasn't really a democratic process. And the supporters of Bernie Sanders are fully aware of that, and they're not buying this Russian story. The press is buying it. They're talking about it, and they managed to really successfully change the story. But it's quite a different matter whether listeners are actually being convinced by this story.
Alrighty, Paul. Thank you very much for sharing your views with us. We always appreciate it. Okay, and right now, Sergey, in order to wrap everything up, it's very, very unusual that Russia has become a card to be used in the American presidential election, particularly in the sense of trying to link both candidates to Moscow personally, and also with there being no proof of those direct connections.
Let me add to that that I hope that when the dust settles and we have a new American president, we will see a new attempt just to reconsider, revamp what is called as Russian topic, and recognition of the fact that all those differences, Russia is too big reality to be ignored, and we need a blueprint for a constructive relationship in key areas where we can't simply afford ourselves to act on our own without cooperation.
Yes, we definitely need pragmatism. That's right. So we're going to thank all of our guests for participating today, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Andrei Fyodorov. He's Russia's former deputy foreign minister and director of the Center for Political Studies think tank here in Moscow. We also spoke to Mr. Anton Fedyashin, professor of history at American University in Washington, D.C. And we also spoke to Mr. Paul Grenier, prominent author and former interpreter for the U.S. State Department and the Pentagon. Following in our program, we have Donald Trump. Was he caught in the Democrats' trap? Stay with us.